Well, I certainly love to sing the songs of Zion. I've gotten older, and sometimes when you get older, your voice gets creakier. I used to love this. I was a tenor all my life. Now I've become a tinner. I can't explain that to you. But where I used to go up, oh, now I go, ah. Oh. But it's great to sing with the people of God, and I have enjoyed it very much. I was privileged a few years ago to be in England, and a street meeting that was conducted by the Irish manor officer, Ian, whatever his name was.
Ian Paisley.
Ian Paisley is a strong Christian, a very big, muscular man, strong Christian. And we had had some meetings with him in the thing I was at, and he announced at 11:30. He said at 12:30 we'll have a street meeting out here in London, and he said, I want helpers. So I and two or three fellows went up, and he pulled a Dutch boy who didn't hardly speak English, and I, who speak Americanese, he pulled us out and he said, I want you two lads to stand on that corner from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. And he said, I don't want to see anybody go by that isn't given a gospel tract. And of course, and Paisley, a big man, big authority tone, you felt like you might just shot you in the spot if you didn't. So the Dutch fellow, this was in Amsterdam, the Dutch fellow couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Dutch. So we smiled at each other and stood together, and when people come down, he would hold out Dutch and German literature, and I would hound out French and American English literature. So we really gave away a lot of stuff of that thing. And when everything was all over, the meeting was over about 3:30, and Paisley came over and congratulated us. He said, if everybody had done like you men, there would be no more tracts left. So I wasn't sure if he was accusing us or not, but he was actually thanking us and telling those things. And I appreciated the fact that that a prominent person was more willing to be identified with Jesus than with political parties and things like that too. I don't know what's happened in the years since then. I can't keep up with American politics. I certainly don't know what they're doing in England or Ireland or any of those things. But I will tell you that the important thing in life is knowing Jesus and spreading truth about him. And that's why I worked on this theme today, that God wants helpers, helping God. I'm not in any sense suggesting that God is not capable, but God has created us, given us life in his image, and we become those that serve him. It's always been that way. And the serving of God is a great blessing in the life of him. Consequently, if you look for something to do, look for something to do that honors God and that honors the word bit by bit. So I chose for myself a theme, helpers for God. And I've thought several ways to say that. Otherwise, it sounds stupid to say helpers for God. But the fact of the matter is that God uses people like you and myself and lots of others to do his will. And in that sense, we are his helpers. We are his children through Jesus, and helpers in the sense that we know what he wants us to do, and we go out to do it. And sometimes a simple thing like passing out hymn books can be some aid for God, I don't know. There's no way you can put all the things in charity, but God needs many helpers in his work. And if you don't want to see wants, put something else. Use your own grammatical frame. But God is important to us, and we are important to him. And consequently, when he says go, he's not talking to an oak tree, He's talking to people like us. And the concept is that God wants us to be his people in a practical sort of way. So, helpers of God. You might want to put a sign on yourself. You have to be careful about signs. But the concept is, I don't recommend signs very much. But in your heart, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, that's what you need to do. If you'd like to talk with me about it, I would be glad to discuss it with you anytime. But if you know that you know Jesus as your Savior, then you ought to know also that you're a helper of God. We are not just fashionable people to sit on a wall and look pretty. We are a people to honor God, and that's an important thing for us, I think. I suppose early in my Christian life, I didn't really understand it very well. A lot of things I don't understand now very well. I was 17 actually, when I trusted Jesus. My family had not been a church family, but because of difficulties, we were going from the farm to church, and they had some gospel meetings, and the man said, if you'd like to be saved, my mother jumped out of her seat and ran to the altar at the front of the church weeping. I kind of sat in the chair because I was a bashful child. I just kind of sat there, but I knew what Jesus had done and what I needed to do too. And when we were going home after the meeting, my mother said, I was disappointed that you didn't trust Jesus. And I said, Mother, I have trusted Jesus. And I had to argue with her for a little bit so that she could understand you didn't have to run to the front of the church to get saved. But we had in our home then a Christian home, and many, many blessings came with it. And lots of trials came with it too. Lots of trials came with it too. And with Moses back in the old passage we read earlier in Sunday school in Exodus chapter 1, Moses was greatly blessed by God and given powers that few men have ever known. But in his humility, he's simply a representative of God and working for him. I want to read in Exodus 3. I'll read verses 1 through 6, and I'll refer to several other sections in this section. Exodus 3. At verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Abraham, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I will stop reading there, because about two more names I usually start laughing. Aren't you glad whatever name and you're not a Jebusite or a Jivite or something like that? Maybe you all are, I don't know. In Philadelphia, there are some people that trace their Jewish roots back to it, and a fellow told me that he was confident that he was in the descendant line of Joshua. That's a long time ago. And I said, he was ready to argue with me. And I I'm not beyond arguing. And I said, well, how do you track it through the Middle Ages and whatnot? Oh, he had a paper showing the different families. And I said, I never heard of those papers. Well, he said, they're our papers. I said, anybody could write a list of papers like that. Anybody could. I said, maybe I am descendant from John the Baptist. Everybody could. So he was very irritated with me, folded up the book, walked away, and announced that I was an apostate. I was glad he was gone. I was glad he thought I was an apostate. I should have been nicer, I understand that. Should have been more friendly, I don't know what. But when people make presumptions like that, and they say, well, I'm the fourth generation from Amos, and I'm a prophet, I just feel like hitting them with a loaf of bread or something, not to really hurt them, but something to let them know that I think they're crazy. But here there's no craziness. Here is Moses. He's going to be the great leader for the people of God. God's helper. And you may not want to call him helper. That may seem too minor. Well, I don't know. But I like the idea that Moses was God's helper. The Lord needed him to heal the people. And the Lord could have raised somebody else too. But the fact is that Moses was called. And out of that Egyptian bondage and out of the circumstances, he was called to serve God. And I am just thrilled by that thing. And when I read in chapter 3 about his work, how the angel appeared and the bush burned but didn't consume, and how God spoke to him, he little knew what God was going to ask him to do, but he was ready to do it. He didn't get a program. He didn't get a receipt. He was going to have hard years leading a rebellious people, but he was ready to do it. And Moses stands out as a great representative of the person who is committed to God and yielded to God's direction. Well, my name is not Moses, and probably yours isn't either, I don't know. Some of you look old enough, but I'm not really sure. And I never identify people either. But whatever the case happens to be, we stand in the line of Moses because we believe in Jesus Christ. And believing in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and the blessing of God. And we follow after the line of Moses as helpers of God. And you might think it sounds like really putting too much on yourself, I don't know. But I like the idea that we're working with him, working for him, and being used in his work. Something nice about it. I was in the Army not many years ago. I don't touch them as much. I didn't solve the war or anything, but I was there. And I was stationed in Georgia for a good while, and I had great times in that particular situation. But every now and then somebody would come to, I wasn't an officer, I was a radio technician who sat and went da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da all day long. When you got down to sit and eat her that night, you'd sit down and you'd look at your food and you'd hear did it da 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 da. I just almost went crazy. I got to the point where I could understand the frogs and the crickets. The crickets were more interesting because the crickets have a longer throat. The crickets go ah da ah. Don't worry about it. It's long ago. I think I could sit down today and work with Morse code if I had to. I'm glad I don't have to. And after I got through the schools and what my speed with the Morse code, and preachers like to boast, do you understand that? But on Morse code my level pay was 103 letters a minute. Not words, but letters. And it would come in, and I would sit there shaking down, writing down all letters. I never knew what I was doing, except wrote down letters, sent them to the carrier, to the place where they interpreted things, and then a smart guy would come in and say, oh, you really got it right today, Taylor. What was it? Oh, you'll find out next year, and all that sort of stuff. I had a good time. And if you have an opportunity to learn the Morse code, if they're still using it, I don't know. I don't know. It's a nice thing you can fool your friends with, because you can just look at them and say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- and say, da, 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 yes, I will help, and so on. You can have all kinds of fun, but you may be, somebody with a book might hit you on the head, so I advise that you avoid it as much as possible. But the concept is that Moses had been chosen by God, and Moses is willing to do that and to be that particular man. And in Exodus 3, you get a nice word of it, his appointment that came after chapter 2 and verse 11, and this burning bush in verse 2 in chapter 3. There were other men who had served God, but nobody had been able to lead the people of Israel out where they were at that time. And so Moses was a special person for that particular work. I say that we are not Moses, and we're not Mosaic aid in the age. But we can learn a lessons from the Matthaim. And the first lesson is that God needs helpers for his work. You'll forgive me if I say it a lot of times, or you can blame the committee that invents people to come here, I don't know. But I'm struck by that. God needs helpers at all times. He's super the universe. And he might drop in on your neighbor to tell him about Jesus, but it's extremely unlikely. It's much more likely that you'll go over and tell him, or that somebody else you know. But in the whole picture of things, we are his people. And we're not his people just to show off. We are his people to witness and to live and to enjoy him. So I will just say that again about 42 times. Be a helper to God. Understand what role is given to us. And in that particular thing, see how God wants us to work and how God wants us to do. With her Moses, he showed in the burning bush in verse 2 of chapter 3. We're not likely to have a burning bush. I don't know what your experience will be at all. I don't know. I don't think you have to have experience. I think you have understanding. I really wanted to go to college from the time I was 2 years old. I didn't know anything when I was 2 years old, but I always wanted to go to school. I found that school, after I got out of kindergarten, I loved it. I had a terrible time in kindergarten in Pittsburgh, a miserable, wretched time. Part of the problem was I could not see in colors well. And you know, the teacher would pass out papers in kindergarten, and she'd say, "Now, I want you to color the purples, to color the tulips purple." I knew what the tulips were, but I didn't know what purple was. I just took whatever paper was there, and then the teacher would come by and she'd say, "Thomas, they're supposed to be purple." Yeah. I still don't really know what purple is. I'm better today because I know it's somewhere between black and brown. I'm better today. But I'm not trustworthy today. That's why my wife tells me what tays to wear. If I'm poorly dressed, poorly, it's her fault. But whatever the case is, and I'm in shirts and whatnot, she'll see me getting ready and she'll say, "You don't wear that shirt with that coat." And I believe it. So I believe, absolutely. I didn't know that when I married her. I didn't know that because I didn't know that she was an expert in color matter. And I never really thought about it. I just would go back and get a necktie and hang it on. And I must have really done some stupid things at different times and probably will continue. But I listen to her. And if she says, "No, use another tie," then I do. Even though my favorite tie I haven't worn for about 6 years. But it's a dumb tie. I don't know what it is. But we are the workers of God. And we're different. You have different skills, different pastimes, different abilities. But you yourself, if you're born again, are a helper of God. A lot of us don't realize it, and consequently, we don't put God in the position in our life where it ought to be with our yieldedness and our direction for Him. Every now and then, someone will come up to me and say, "Tom, I wish you'd talk to my brother-in-law. He's not saved." I'll talk to anybody. But what I want to say is, have you talked to him about God? And the last time this happened, the lady said, "Every day." Well, you know how preachers are critical, do you know that? I realized that if you talk about every day, they might very well want to shoot you after a while. But when I got around to talking, I discovered that he hadn't talked, and he did not listen, I don't know what. So you have to work with those things as they come. But as a worker for God, you're not going to turn the world and yourself upside down, but you're going to take the truths of Scripture and let them guide you in different aspects of life. I like that song, the gospel song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I remember sitting and seeing that one day after I had trusted Jesus as Savior, and I was in a church where they didn't do much singing. They did a lot of singing of the Psalms, and you could hardly sing them. But somebody called for that, and as we sat in the pew singing "What a Savior," Jesus, I began to cry in thankfulness for the fact that Jesus was a friend and that God was my Father and that my life could be used to them in situation. It didn't reform me immediately, but it meant something to me, and I can still see it. I was 16 years old, full of experience of life. I knew a lot about milking goats and things like that, but I was only 16. But suddenly my eyes filled up because I realized that Jesus had allowed me to be part of the family of God, and I was one of his people. If you continue reading in Exodus 3, I didn't plan to read the whole chapter, but if I continue in that particular thing, you'll discover how God speaks to him in verse 6, "I'm the God of the Father," and so forth and so forth. And then he tells us in verses 7 and 8, that he knows about the problem that people are suffering with, and he's going to send him to bring help for him. You'll see it in verse 10. He said, "I'll send you to Pharaoh." A Pharaoh was the last guy in the world that Moses would have wanted to see, I think. Can't prove it, I just think it, but I think it loudly. And he's going to go. And the Lord said to him, I'm sorry, Moses said in verse 11, "Who am I that I could go to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the children of Israel out?" And the Lord said in verse 12, "I will be with thee." Now he's talking to Moses, but I always grab that. Who will help you with your growth? Who will help you with your family? Who will help you with your fellowship? The Lord says, "I will be with thee." Those that are trusting him, he says, "I will be with thee." He may not make everything smooth, and he might. You can't tell for sure. But what you can tell is that you are part of the helpers of God in the process. I've had a number of strange things at different times. And a lady wanted me to come and speak to her husband several years ago, because he was a hard-nosed guy. I never know exactly what to say to those guys. But anyhow, I said I would come, and I did go. He was as open as a book. He said, "My wife says that you can tell me how I could be a child of God." He said, "Won't you tell me?" And within an hour, he was praying and thanking to God. And when I left the house, I felt like a great evangelist. I was not a great evangelist at all. But I happened to be one person that God had allowed me to talk to. I've talked to a lot of people that wouldn't do anything. But I just went out and was saying, I haven't seen them for a long time. But I will tell you that when you're working with God and trusting Him, it's a blessed experience. So Moses said over in chapter 4, he said, I'm not eloquent. That's right. He wasn't eloquent. But in verse 11, the Lord said, who made man's mouth? He says, I'll speak for you and I'll help you. In verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. This is in verse chapter 4. Because Moses doesn't want to speak, and Aaron, Levite, he wants him to take in. But the Lord responds to him again and again that you'll take the rod that I give you in your hand and use it as your sign, and Israel will follow you. Well, I just kind of sit and say, Lord, there must have been plenty of people that were ready to lead. But Moses was the one that was chosen of God. He was drawn out of the bush, lived out of the water. And he was the one God wanted to do it. Now I have to think that if Moses had said, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to hide in the desert somewhere, that the God would either chased him out or used somebody else, I don't know. But God wasn't choosing somebody else. He chose Moses and Aaron, his brother, her brother, to go along with him. And they became the great leaders of Israel. They would lead the people out of Egypt. They would lead them into Canaan. They would see the proportion of the land of Canaan. They would see the grill. They would see the establishment of a king power. And all the things that the spiritual lessons necessary came down through their yieldedness to God. So you can only say that you or I cannot be able to predict what will happen exactly, but we do know what particular concepts may happen to some degree. We know that God will honor His word. And if I'm working with His word and carrying His word, then I trust God to do it. He will vindicate our lives if we are yielded to Him. It's not a matter of whether you become a saint or not. We become a saint by trusting Jesus. But the point that comes in, are you willing to be a helper? Are you willing to be a helper? So there are only two or three Moses types, and there are lots of other guys in the scripture. There are people in the New Testament who are weak, but we've witnessed for Jesus. There's all sorts of people used for God. And when you get down to the age in which we are, we're just another age of people too. And in our generation, you run people into love of the Lord. But some of us are quite content to just kind of sit down and hope that somehow a miracle will happen. I don't know. After my mother trusted the Lord, she was ahead of me by about 4 hours. Our father had his own problems. And as we went home that night, my mother said, I can't quote it exactly. My mother said, I'll have to change the whole way of house. She went from, it's hard to say it right. She went from a nagging wife to the wedding wife that probably she had been when she married him. I don't know. And after several months, he became ill. And the first thing that he became ill was not that he would get well, but that he could be saved and be assured of heaven. The last 5, 6 or so of his life were sick. He was in a sanitarium for an incurable situation. But he had the reality of knowing Jesus. He became a fellow reading the scripture on the different things. And his whole life and aspects were different. And my mother said to me many times, she'd been in a sanitarium for a while too. She said, my, she said, if we could have known sooner, we could have had how much do you know home? Probably so. But the fact of the matter was that God touched us with great blessing. My, my. I'm not saying you have to go and live in a monastery. I'm not saying you have to go off into a missions camp. I'm saying what you have to do is to know that Jesus is your liver and that he delivers you that you could serve him. And you may not have any eloquency whatsoever. Maybe just honesty when you go to the bicycle shop, I don't know. But God can use your life because he needs helpers. And when I say needs, I don't mean he's going to run out of living, but helpers. And what we become are children of God through faith in Jesus to execute his will. Sometimes, though, we forget the helper part. I've had people once in a while say, would you stop by, and I mentioned one of these earlier too, and stop by, would you stop and say something? About 2/3 out of times when I've stopped to see something, I got somebody that cursed me. Not even exactly. You know, you're stupid, whatever it was. I've seen some other people trust Jesus. But I haven't been my orders to make converts. That's not my, not haven't been made orders to correct homes where everybody treats one nice, not that. What I've been commissioned to is to tell people that Jesus Christ gives eternal life to them when they trust him. Yeah. You'll have to forgive my long stories, but for a long time, not a long time, for about 9 months, I sore brushes day to door, day by day. I was out of work, had to drop out of college, got a job selling brushes. Good product, good company, good manager, and those particular things. The manager was a Jewish merchant. He was very friendly. He was glad to have somebody else to work under him. He gave me about 2 weeks of instruction. He said, don't argue, and many other good things. And I soon became a pretty sick salesman, Dale DeDorsa. I hated it, but it was the only job available at that particular time. And I soon became the best fellow in his line out of the Atlanta office for my sales record. I felt that I had to present what I had, and I could not make fun of what they had, and a few other things like that too. And I discovered after a while that kindness and friendliness and helpfulness is better than walking into a house and saying, everybody here is going to hell. Now you'll have to adjust your own life and your own style. But under helpers of God, we want to show the kindness and the goodness of God. And you can think of how Moses exhibited those things. You know, how he could have brought down a judgment on him that would have chased everybody. But his work was to build a people, not to ruin the nation. Well, you're not going to build a people, but we can be important in building the Christian community. God needs helpers. Not because he's weak or impotent, but because that's what he plays and that's the way he works. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I'd be glad to talk with you about it this morning. I'd be glad to. Or maybe it'll be tomorrow be the way I'm going, but I'd be glad to talk with you about it. If you know the Lord Jesus, thank him for salvation and ask him to see how you can help reach out to others in the will of God. God needs helpers. Let us help fill that need with consecration and healing. And we will discover that the blessing of God is on us in a powerful way. And people will be blessed, and the encouragers will be blessed, and you'll be eminently satisfied too. Glad to be with you today. I'm going ahead on a little slightly different tack later on at some time, I think. But whatever the case is, I'm glad to be saved. And I thank the Lord daily for letting me have some opportunity to share with others on the saving truth. And may He bless you as a community. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd be glad to talk with you about it today. And if you do know Him, remember that God needs helpers, and you can be a great helper. Not requiring great skills, not requiring a giant personality, just yourself saying, "Lord, I will help you." Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your blessing and your care. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that the gates of heaven are open for our satisfaction and our blessing. We give you our thanks today and pray, Lord, you would dwell us and help us to order our lives in ways that honor God. We give you thanks in Jesus' name today. Amen.